When I say I have an episode for you that will make you want to pull out your journal, rip out your pens and your highlighter and take some diligent notes, I am not joking. I have Amanda Pilkowski on the show, a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force, and she is awe-inspiring, incredible, motivating, disciplined, dedicated, and just such a wonderful woman. You instantly just want to become friends with her. I found Amanda on social media a little over a year and a half ago and just instantly bonded with her. Although she's senior to me, higher ranking, in a different branch of service, I knew instantly that what she had to say would be something that I could take a lot from, and I knew that you all would too. Amanda is a wife, dog mom, daughter, sister, world traveler, a hiking enthusiast, gym rat, foodie, and an Air Force officer. She is an Air Force Academy grad, class of 2008, and is a force support officer, currently the commander of 1st Special Operations Force Support Squadron in Florida. She's been previously deployed to Iraq, Afghanistan, UAE, and competed in a short tour in Turkey. Her career has taken her from her first duty station at Shepherd Air Force Base in Texas to Hawaii to South Carolina and even to the Pentagon. Her previous assignment was the commander of Bellows Air Force Station in Hawaii. Amanda is so likable. She's so genuine, so authentic, and so willing to share her heart and soul in this episode by providing you all with tips for female leaders. Now, I think male or female alike, you can take away something from this episode, but I really wanted to specifically narrow in on how she has led as a female. And we all know it's different. It's different. Every day when I report to work, I face different challenges than my male peers. And I know that that's just a fact. And I think it's more important that we talk about it and we give advice and we help give women and equip them with the right tips and tools for them to move forward instead of just saying, it's the same. It's not the same. Amanda says it in this episode, being a woman, being a female is your superpower. So stop trying to lead like a man. She's going to teach us how to lead like women. And for my female leaders out there, you're going to enjoy these tips. Let's dive in. You're listening to Misunderstood Podcast, where we are setting the record straight on all things misunderstood. I'm your host, Kelly Hall Sabraki, pageant runner-up, model, speaker, wife, and U.S. Navy lieutenant. I may have never won a Miss USA title, but I am the queen of being misunderstood. Welcome to the show, guys. All right. Welcome, everyone, back to another episode of Misunderstood Podcast. This is Kelly Hall Sabraki, and by popular demand, I have Amanda Pilkowski on the show. She is such a boss. I've been following her on social media for such a long time, and this is our first time actually connecting virtually. We haven't met in person yet, so this is our first conversation, and you guys get to hear it. Amanda, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. Finally. We get to meet.
I know.
It's like you make friends on social media and you like feel like you know like giant chunks of their lives, but this is our first conversation.
It's wild. The first conversation. And the thing is that's always so fun about this is that like we will meet. It always happens eventually. You know, like there will be a conference, there will be a TAD, there will be something that the universe will bring us together and then we'll be like, oh my gosh, we've been friends for 5 years. Perfect. No, it just unified. Amanda, you know, I was telling you before the show started, just tonight, I threw something on Instagram and I was like, oh, I'm interviewing Amanda Pilkowski. I'm going to keep saying your name as best as possible.
You're Pilkowski. Doing great.
Remember the name, Pilkowski. I threw it up and I was like, hey guys, I'm bringing her on the show, trying to stay motivated, trying to stay focused. You and I both worked a full work day. Yes. It is 7 my time, Tuesday evening. And, you know, we're both toast, but we're showing up and doing the most.
We are.
And people were excited. They're like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to hear this interview. Like, sign me up.
Yes.
And I think that's just really a testament of you, what you stand for, your platform, and just you as an authentic leader. So I kind of wanted to turn it over to you right away. First of all, why did you choose the Air Force? But then also, why did you decide to start sharing your journey on social media? Because we all know that's a very unique journey and you have to overcome a lot of negativity. but you do it in such a brilliant way.
Thank you. All right. Why Air Force? I originally wanted to be a fighter pilot. My dad had drugged me to air shows for as long as I can remember. He actually lost me at an air show one time.
No way.
I don't know if my mom knows that. So, and we might have just blown it. We might have just blown that on the podcast. And I was just always around airplanes and the love of airplanes. And then 9/11 happened. So I was inspired to serve my country from there. And I learned about the Air Force Academy. I grew up in Southwest Denver. So it was right up the road. And I was like, oh,
wow,
that's where I want to go. And I was actually told by my academy liaison officer that I was not smart enough to go to the Air Force Academy. And I was like, oh, I thought I was smart. Like I had a 4.0 GPA. They're just like, your test scores suck. And I was like, oh, and they're like, well, try other schools. So I actually went to the Naval Academy summer seminar and absolutely fell in love with your campus and like the whole thing. Like I just absolutely loved it. So I was
down. I'm biased, but it is pretty good.
Oh my
gosh. Pretty amazing.
I was like, what is this
place? Naval Academy is pretty nice.
And I made such fabulous friends out there and I just had so much fun. I was like, that's it. I'm going to the Naval Academy. And the track team was recruiting me and I went out there for my track visit and I got all of my nominations ready to go. I got one to Navy, or I actually got West Point first, but I just felt like that was not my place. I was like, mm-hmm. I don't want to be in the Army. And I was like, no, Navy all the way. They're like, why not Air Force Academy? I was like, Navy, that is my place. And then one day I woke up and I was like, I can't swim. Oh my God. Like I could, but I was like, I'm not a water person. Like, why am I signing up for a lifetime on the water if I'm not a water person? So I had a little bit of a crisis. Like,
no way.
I'm just waiting. They're like, any day now, like you will hear from the Naval Academy. Like they want you, paperwork is signed. And I was like, okay, oh boy. Why not Air Force Academy? And so I like asked my dad, I was like, Dad, I think I've made a mistake. Like, can we see, like reach out to the track team or like see anything about the Air Force Academy? And I don't know how we reached out to the track team, but they're like, we've been trying to recruit you all along and you haven't been responding to us. I was like, no way.
What?
So I was able to, they're like, come down for a trip. It was like a super quick turnaround. Fell in love with the team and the campus. And they're like, all right, we got you. We found you a nomination. You're accepted to Air Force Academy. I got my Air Force Academy, like the certificate that I got in.
Yeah.
And 1 week later, the Naval Academy one came that I'd also gotten in. So,
wow.
Yeah. So that was weird that it happened that way.
That's insanity. I can actually relate to this so much. And I'm now wondering if my entire life is a lie. Because I kid you not, I was applying to only Navy and Air Force. I was not interested in any of the other service academies and reached out to Air Force and I got a letter. And that letter is now in my Bible because it said I was not academically competitive enough to go to the Air Force Academy. And I remember being the same, like shook. Like I was like, wait, huh? I think I had 4-3 AP classes, class president. I was like, what do you mean? And they had sent me a letter for track. But when I reached out to the coach about like, hey, is there anything we can do? Like, I'm interested. She was like, no, they're saying that you're not like academically competitive.
What?
Vice the Naval Academy, it was like signed, sealed, delivered. Like, I got no pushback from my academics. I took the SAT 7 times though to get into the Naval Academy. But then the coach was like, you know, you get your SAT score up, you're in. Like, you're good. Signed, sealed, delivered, let's go. So I went to Navy. And so Air Force kind of stiff-armed me like right away. And I was like, you know what? I always wanted to kind of do Navy anyways. Like that was the goal. But yeah, imagine if like the coach had come out and said like, you know, work on this, work on that. We'll see what we can do. And then boom, my whole life would have been different.
Different trajectory. Imagine yeah. if I didn't think one morning that I didn't like the water, like I'd be Navy.
Yeah.
Like signed, sealed, delivered. Like I was ready to go. Like,
wow.
It's so amazing. It's so pretty there. Y'all win the campus for sure.
We do. But I've actually never been to the Air Force Academy. Fun fact.
Oh,
big fan. Big fan. I think, you know, the photos I've seen are beautiful. But, you know, now you're at the Academy. You're going to be an Air Force officer. What really has pulled you in. And you clearly stayed, you know, you're 15 years in your active duty career, which is incredible. I speak to applicants every single day who get ready to ship off to basic training or boot camp. And I tell them, remember that your reason for why you joined is going to be different than why you stayed. So why now, like 15 years later, you're still in the Air Force and obviously thriving?
It's all about the people serving to the left and right of you. It's all about the airmen. Like, they are just so amazing. Like, the best, I always say, America's sons and daughters. Like, anybody who raises their right hand to serve, they're so motivated. They're there for a bigger purpose. And they are so smart and talented. And even down to my youngest lieutenant, like, she just briefed the wing commander. She has been in the Air Force like 4 months and she just did this massive briefing and she's just so brilliant. And I was like, I don't even think I was this brilliant. So it's staying for moments like that. Like, the airmen just make everything awesome and worth it and easy to stay.
Yeah, I agree. That's exactly why I say I always talk about the people.
Yes.
I say the reason why I stayed is the people. And it's always, you know, look to your left, look to your right. There's going to be someone there cheering you on, supporting you and wanting to mentor you. And I was like, maybe one day you get to mentor someone else and kind of give it back. But speaking of mentorship, you use your social media in an incredibly unique way as well. There's not many of us.
No.
There's like a small little group of us. I swear, I think there's like maybe a roster of 10 that are like out there consistently sharing, you know, with really like good intention and wanting to uplift people. And when I found you, I was like, she's one of them. Like, she gets me. She's a soul sister. Like, you're immediately inside my circle cheering you on. But why did you decide, like, when did you start your platform? When did you open it up to the public and start mentoring leaders?
So I started Instagram in 2012, just private account. I was the person, like, this is the time where Facebook was in its peak and you like take like 100 photos over the weekend and you put every single one of them onto
in an album on Facebook.
In an album and dump it. Yeah. And so it was locked down until 2017. And I had always liked to take travel pictures. Like, that's like my souvenir, as opposed to like buying trinkets, even though Scott says I have a lot of trinkets. It's only a few and mostly pictures. And so I had started I opened it up and just like posted a travel picture of me in the mountains. And I tagged this page called Wilderness Badass. And they reposted my page and I was, or my picture. And I was like, oh, this is so exciting. Like, someone liked my picture.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So I'd only just done travel. I had done a travel blog for a little bit. It started out as an email that I wrote since it was every single week, starting when I got to Turkey. And it was just like what was going on in pictures to family and friends. And then the list had just grown. So then I had started like opening it up as a blog and with pictures and travel stuff. The blog just got to be too exhausting. Like, I did it all the way up until my honeymoon in 2018, but I just like ran out of steam. I was like, I have so many, it just stopped being fun. I was like, we went like 6 different places for our honeymoon. Cause I'm like, when I travel, I'm exhausting and Scott's just along for the ride. There's no relaxing. It's seen everything. And I was deploying and I was like, oh my gosh, I have all of these places to write about, all these things to catch up people up on. And it's like, what if I just don't?
Mm-hmm.
So then I just stopped the blog and just kept taking fun pictures all over the place. And I really did not put a lot of military stuff on there at all because I was just worried about the blowback and what will people think. And, you know, they talk about OPSEC and all this stuff like that. But at the same time, when I was a lieutenant, when Facebook was starting to, you know, get to its peak, our wing commander, he was a general, Brigadier General, so 07. He said everybody, all the leaders needed to have a public Facebook page.
Wow.
And to like reach out to their team. So I had this planted in the back of my mind that it was a good way to communicate. And then I later, around 2018, got a new commander and he was all about social media too. So he's an 06. And he would communicate with the base. Like, he would just go live on Facebook and like talked directly to the airmen from the flight line, or he made videos.
Wow.
He made videos. Like that was just like his passion. So our public affairs team was all about it. So I had it in the back of my mind, and I was honestly inspired by your page.
I had found you
and I was like, oh my gosh, like if she can do it. And I really hesitated because I saw all of the hate that you get at the same time. And
yeah,
I think it was trying to remember what you said. It was tell your story. Everyone deserves to tell their story. So I did. And I was just like, I'm going to do military. I'm going to say some pieces of what I think and just see what happens. And it just kind of exploded a little bit from there, which is exciting.
It's so exciting.
Yeah. It's been fun to reach people on that level, like talking out, what do I wish I knew as a lieutenant? What do I wish I knew as a cadet? Or talking to all levels of leadership, talking to airmen, or doing collaborations with some of my favorite people on what I think they can teach others. And it's just been so much fun. I've loved it.
It just makes my heart burst hearing you say all of that, because I think that the best like platforms on social media kind of happen by accident. And that's where like a lot of when I do these interviews or I talk to other women who are doing things like us, that's kind of how they all end up starting. Like, this is just so wild to me. There was like a rumor or a meme circulating around that like I went to the Naval Academy to become an Instagram influencer. Like, is that just like the funniest thing ever? I'm like, okay, let's just recap real quick here. Like, Instagram came out in like 2012, I think. I was like,
yeah.
I got into the Naval Academy in 2009. So like, wasn't even a thing yet. But also like, there are much easier paths than the United States Naval Academy to become an Instagram influencer. Like, I think you just need an iPhone. Like, there you go.
Ta-da. No 4 years of hell. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It just comes from kind of, you were talking about that calling of like waking up and you don't know if you like water. I just literally woke up one day and was like, what if I took this off private? Like, you know, really, really early on, because I had done Miss Ohio USA and my account was on private the first time I ever competed. I had my little 300 followers. And I just, the reaction really from like the women backstage when I was like, I'm in the Navy. And they were like, shock, like pure shock, you know? And they're like, I've never met someone in the military before. And I remember thinking, that's insane. Like, I grew up in the military. I don't know anything but the military, but this was Ohio. So I was like, really? And then I realized, like, I'm their first impression. You know, I'm teaching them about the Navy or what the Navy is. And they had a million questions for me. And so that's what eventually led to inspiring me to take it off private. I was like, well, if these 40 women backstage have never met anyone in the military, like, what if I started sharing my journey online? Because I'm sure there's a lot of other people who know nothing about what it's like to be in the military. And then the rest was history. And you know, like you said, connecting virtually with people is the coolest thing. And that's what a lot of people don't see, is that benefit. As a commander or as an XO or even doing speaking engagements, you can only reach the people right there in that room. But virtually, you can reach thousands through one post or like one picture, which is really, really cool.
And you never know who you're going to reach. I had somebody walk up to me in the gym here and they're like, I saw your post and it resonated with me and I was having a really horrible day and you talked about imposter syndrome, and I will tell you what, like, you helped me get through it.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't even stationed here, just here, TDY. And I was like, oh my gosh.
That's why.
Thank you so much for telling me. That's it right there.
Exactly. I'm a woman of faith. And I feel like every single time I get down about sharing something, because people can just be so mean, almost every single time it comes in waves. And it's like every 4 months, I'm like, oh my God, why am I doing this? Like, it's not my job. So much work. And I have to deal with the negativity. And then boom, there will be some sort of physical reminder. It'll be, I kid you not, like someone, it'd be like the receptionist at dental. And you know, it's a corpsman. And he's like, it's you, ma'am. Oh my gosh, you know, or I'm walking around the Naval Academy and there will be like a midshipman that's like, I saw your post when I was 14 and that made me apply for the Naval Academy. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that checks. Like, that was 5 years ago. I've been doing this for 7. Like, what? So that's why, well, we could get on this tangent for a very long time because I know that it matters so much to you and I, but I think what will matter even more, it might be even more relatable to listeners, is going to be kind of getting into that female lens of leadership. It is a unique experience. You know, this isn't to be so specific, it's exclusive. This is to be inclusive. You know, it's, you know, there's so many women who need mentors. You know, we are a minority in the military, and most of the time we're the only females in the rooms and we're leading those conversations. So I know you have a lot of advice for young female leaders or female leaders in general, but I want to get into all that advice. And I'm going to kick it off with what I ask every guest. You're probably my first guest I've ever asked this question 20 minutes into a podcast episode, if that's any indication of our conversation so far. But I want to start off with, what do you think is most misunderstood about being a female leader?
I would say that you have to lead like a man.
Yeah.
Especially us, because we're in a male-dominated field, you would assume that you have to completely change everything about you and lead the same way. But I'll tell you what, men and women bring different things to the fight, and being female is your superpower, and you are bringing a different level of empathy to the situation. You're bringing a different perspective, and trying to be somebody else is just not going to work out for you. I tried one time, and I was leading 40, I would say just hard, intense 18-year-old alpha males, and I tried leading like a dude because I was the only female in the program. And one of my lieutenants pulled me aside and he's like, you need to stop barking at the men. And at first I was like, well, that's very, there's a whole lot of things that we could pull back with that one. But then I was like, oh, I'm a female, like I'm not a male. Like, I don't have to be the dude to lead you all. I can just do things my way, still professional, but I don't have to try and be like beating my chest like a guy. Like, I will never be that. So just be myself and lead authentically as myself has always been so much more successful. Cause also, if you try and be somebody that you're not, people will tell. They'll know right away.
It's impossible.
Yes.
It's impossible to keep up a facade. I mean, it's one of those things I truly believe. I was just talking to Austin about it tonight. You know, I've been at my command now for about 8 months. And I think that time will always tell all.
Yes.
You know, like one of the best, most important things you can do in general as a leader, but especially when I feel like we get a few more eyes kind of peeled on us, like, okay, what is she going to do? How is she going to be? Is following through with your word and with your actions.
Absolutely.
If you are like, I care, or blah, or I'm intense, or whatever, you know, after 5 months, 6 months, you can't keep that up if that's not really who you are.
Exactly.
You know, and I feel like I get that a lot too, because people are like, there's no way she's that nice. And they're skeptical. Like, they're always, this is like my 8th command, always skepticism my way. And then I'm there for about 6 months and I'm like, nope, this is just who I am. Strap on in, folks. Like, I just love being positive. Don't know what to tell you. So then they learn to appreciate it. So I think that's wonderful.
Oh, that's good. That's so funny. Can't believe she's that nice. Yes.
I can't believe she. I'm like, here we are. So I know you have a list of tips. I think what the best thing to do is, I'd love to hear you list them out and then us walk through it. Because one thing I've noticed is that people love, like, they love good pointers. They love things that they can write down, you know? So I'd love for you to list out what you have, and then let's just kind of gnaw on them one by one.
Okay. All right. You say Amanda Palkowski's advice for women leaders.
Yes.
Yes. We'll come up with a better name later.
No, I like it. Original. Okay. And to the point. Right. Period.
Period. The only person you are competing with is you. Only burn bridges if you meet it, and make sure you understand the permanence of it. trust your gut. You are stronger and braver than you think. Challenge yourself. You are right where you're supposed to be. What is for you will not pass you.
Yes.
Surround yourself with people who make you better. And then self-care is non-negotiable.
Yes.
And lastly, you are more than the job.
Oh, you didn't say that one before. I love that one. You are more than the job. Oh, that's so awesome. And I love that we're going to round this out with a little bit of discussion of self-care because it's like my favorite topic ever.
Yes.
So let's start with number one. Why did you want to kick off with that? Like, why was that the most important thing? Well, actually, that was the first thing that came to you. So why that?
So I think it's just my experience in the military that sometimes women compete with each other. When I was at the academy, I feel like it's changed now a little bit. Someone will have to tell me how it is to be a cadet now. But women were just, they were pit against each other. Like, you wanted to be the best female because all of the guys would brag on you. So you had to be the smartest. You had to be the fastest. You had to be the most athletic. You had to be all of these things. Otherwise, they wouldn't like you. So you're in competition with women all over the place. And it wasn't until I was probably a mid-lieutenant that I was like, I think I really need female friends. Like, I have some best friends from the academy that are female, but like, I really just didn't have a lot, you know. I was a guy's girl. And I was like, you know, like, you find yourself saying things like, I'm not that girly. And then you're like, but I really want to paint my nails. Like, I feel like pink would make things a whole lot better. And it wasn't like, I finally got a bunch of friends at my first duty station, all a bunch of female CGOs, and we would do Wine Wednesdays. And then I deployed to Iraq. And I will tell you what, the friends that I made out there just changed my life. It was just like a strong bunch of women. And we were just all in it together because there was like 5 of us on the camp. So like, we all became really close. So
it's amazing.
Having the female friends are amazing, but it has to translate into the workplace as well. Like, you're only competing with yourself. I see it with my peers right now. So I compete for stratifications against all the other squadron commanders. That gets you jobs, that gets you your next school. But we all have to work together to accomplish the mission. So we can either, you know, fight for each other to be the best and like try and climb over each other to get to the top, or we could make this a team sport and support each other relentlessly, no matter where we're going through, and just get through this together. And wherever the chips may fall, they fall, but at least we survived as a team.
Yeah, that really is such a military culture. It's tough to explain to people who don't understand it. You know, I start with, at the academy, we were ranked against each other, like ranked against each other numerically. And your peers did it. Your senior officers ranked you. Your senior midshipmen ranked you. It's just crazy that was the culture right away. It was like, you were a number. And I think back to these kids were entering the Naval Academy. We're ages like 17 to, you know, 21, mind you. And yet our first impression through summer is like, you're going to get a number. And oh, you were 26. Sorry. Try better next time. It's like, what? And, you know, I was very fortunate that I was a top performer. But at the same time, I was empathetic to those who weren't doing as well. I think that as leaders, you kind of learn right away. You know, I think if a young leader, it's great to look out for yourself. It's great to be the fastest runner. It's great to, you know, do the most push-ups and be really, really smart. But you're really only as good as the people around you.
Yes.
So I remember circling back, and I would run alongside the men and women who were struggling because I was a track runner, you know? And guess what? Those were the same people that helped me with my chemistry later during the academic year. Like, it all comes full circle. So like, stop focusing so much on being a top performer yourself, because you're not perfect either. You just might be really good at athletics or really good at academics, or maybe you have an outgoing personality. But those people have skills and talents to give back, you know, toward the mission or toward the team. So it all comes back full circle.
It does. And it even applies, like, people comparing themselves to other people on the internet, right? You are not going to be anybody else but yourself. So instead of like, oh, well, this person has a private jet and this person has 1 million followers and this person has this, Like, how about you just be a little bit better than where you were last year so that you don't, it's just so stressful because it used to be keeping up with the Joneses, like just your neighbors, but now you have the entire internet that you can find yourself comparing yourself to. And I don't think that's healthy.
No, it's not. You really have to take active steps to stop that comparison. And I think channel what you know you're good at.
Yes.
So I think at any given time, like I know I'm good at three specific things, and one of them is public speaking. Always known that, you know, since I was a kid. So when I was at the academy, I was like, I'm going to be a really confident speaker. May not really know what I'm talking about because I don't know how to do navigation in a channel, but I will really execute this brief like I know what I'm talking about. And I remember getting nervous that the instructor would like ask me something about the navigation brief because I was like, I don't know what that means on this chart, but I would just be really confident. And then they wouldn't ask any questions. And I'd be like, any further questions, sir? And he'd be like, nope. And I'm like, great. So yeah, but not everyone. But I knew I also struggled with like science and math and that kind of thing, you know? So I could either focus on that insecurity and know that people were better at me than that, or I could channel, okay, what are the two or three things I really knock out of the park and how can I use them to lead better and be a better officer? That's the tricky part about the comparison game. It's, you know, everybody always has something to work on, but you're uniquely you.
Yes.
And I want people to remember those three things. Like everyone does three things at least like really, really, really well, both at work and their personal life. And no one can take that away from you. So embrace it.
I love the way you put that.
Thanks.
Yes, I love it.
Okay. So number two, I think is very specific. And I'm curious as to why this is your advice. You mentioned burning bridges.
Yes.
So speak a little on that.
Only burn bridges if you mean it and make sure you understand the permanence of it. The military is so small. Like you do not know who is going to come back around or that you might have to work with again. So like if some kind of drama happens or personality conflict, I would recommend just being professional about it and putting up your boundaries on where it needs to be, but don't make it into a big thing unless you completely understand that there could be consequences like 15 years down the line. Like you might have to deal with a completely damaged relationship or someone with this horrible perception of you or the situation like 15 years later. It's like, oh my gosh, and now I have to work with you. Or if you don't, some people are super public about what they put out online and they're like air their grievances or they talk about something with their boss or their coworker instead of keeping that stuff personal, and it could really come back to get you. So if you're going to burn a bridge, make sure it's not out of emotion and you do it because you know, like it, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it could just come back.
Yeah. So as we're talking about setting boundaries and burning bridges, how do you distinguish the difference of either? You know, because I think about burning a bridge for me, I feel like that's a lot more intentional and maybe emotional. But then setting boundaries is kind of the same too, but they have two very different implications.
Absolutely. I would say setting boundaries is probably the best way to go about things where you can kind of keep people at bay. Burning a bridge, I would say, is like the most intense boundary that you can set. There's some people who just don't deserve to be in your life, or they're toxic, or maybe they're just like a fake friend or something where they just need to cut out, or maybe it's just a really bad breakup and you need to like, you know, burn it. Maybe you just have to burn it all down because you're never going to talk to the person again and things ended really poorly and they just need to be cut out. So that's why I'd say burning the bridge boundary, definitely, I think that's more intentional. I'm trying to think of a better way. To put it, probably healthy. Boundaries are healthy. Burning a bridge, like if you're going to go big, make sure you do it on purpose and not emotional. So if you're going to go for the full cutout of somebody out of your life, just make sure it's on purpose as opposed to a boundary, like maybe you limit it.
Yeah. I think this goes professionally and personally. I think it's advice for both because, you know, one can live in the same space as the other. You know, this just in, I have actually burned quite a few bridges. But for me, those bridges needed to fall down because I wanted to set a boundary for myself. it's just kind of like, I think boundaries can be scaled at different levels. You can set small boundaries for yourself, big boundaries for yourself. But when I think of a bridge, it's like one of the most severe boundaries you can set for yourself because they can't cross back over it, right? But I look back and I have peace with all of those decisions because those relationships, personal or professional, they were great for that season, but they ended for a reason. You know, I'm very thankful they were there. I learned a lot. Amazing. But they're not brought into 2024 Kelly or 2020 Kelly or whenever that time was, you know? So I'm kind of like, thank you for being there. And then you move forward.
Exactly.
Thanks for playing.
Thanks for playing.
Thanks for playing next time.
Yes.
All right. On to your next one. I think it was Don't Be Anyone Else. Is that right?
No, well, yes, but we talked about that one at the beginning.
Okay.
So that's where we went misunderstood.
Just reiterating, don't be anyone else.
Absolutely. Don't be anyone else. Your people will know it's fake.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite stories to tell is when I first reported to my ship. You're going to laugh. I thought, because everyone told me not to be bubbly, that I shouldn't smile. Truly. Like everyone was like, you need to flip a switch. You're too bubbly. You're too outgoing. Blah. So I would actively,
oh my gosh,
not smile. Like I remember like standing there with my clipboard at quarters and be like, don't smile, don't smile, don't smile. Like trying to keep a straight face. And my actual reaction is how I act now. Like this is me. This is the real me when I'm insane. But at work, I literally just keep my straight face. And I would face plant into my couch when I got home for like 8 months because I'm so tired from actively trying to be someone other than me. And as soon as I stopped, because my chief was kind of like, what are you doing? Like, why do you act so different closed doors with me than you do like in front of the sailors? I was like, I don't know. I'm just trying to be a good officer. He was like, you are a good officer. Like, stop. And I swear my quality of life just increased significantly because my sailors really related to me. They weren't scared to approach me. They felt like they could confide in me. They started coming to me for personal and professional advice. And I was like, wait, okay, yay. I'm okay. My personality is enough. Like being me is enough. I truly don't need to be someone else.
You don't. Everybody brings something unique. If we were all the same, we would just all be robots. And it would be so boring.
Exactly. So boring. We like a military of diversity and diverse personality and emotion. That is what it will always distinguish us from AI and robots and all things electronic. It's humans, human impact and intention.
Yeah. I look back at like all the times that I've allowed to been obnoxiously myself and all of the smiles that it has brought to people. And it just makes me so happy. Like, my leaders have, like, I got away with a briefing when I was in Afghanistan and everyone was excited for Christmas. And I was supposed to brief all of the visits that we had coming up. So I stood up during the battle update brief and I pulled a Santa hat out of my pocket and I sang all of the visitors to the 12 days of Christmas. And by the end, half of the people were in shock because they were Army. And then half of the people were just laughing because that is what they needed. And they don't expect, like, I'm a force support officer. Like we're the fun squadron. If we're not having fun, we can bring no joy to anybody around the base. So
yeah,
I get to have a little bit of fun and I know when to turn it on or off, but ultimately, I get to be myself. Like my boss, she's so fun and she's so cool. And she lets us make jokes during staff meeting. And it's like this meeting that we have to be in automatically becomes more pleasant because we're having fun while we do it.
Something I want to kind of dive into a little bit is you just mentioned like turning it off and turning it on. And I feel like maybe I struggle less with this, but sometimes my subordinates are surprised by this. And it's the duality of my role. Like I am 90% of the time, like outgoing, coffee cup XO, how was your weekend? Like energetic, smiles, good morning. Like that's normally what I am. And that's how I want to be. But there are also times that 10% of the time where you have to be stern.
Yes.
And you just have to say, hey, bud, like, that's not the policy, or that's not the protocol, or why are you late? Why was this late? I asked for this 2 days ago, you know, and I'm going to give you a quick counseling chip because this is the third time you've done it. And I almost feel like sometimes legitimate shock floods people's faces because they're so used to the 90% XO or 90% Kelly that's fine and smiley and happy and like teamwork, we love it, donuts. But then I have to be a professional too, and I have to be an officer, and I have to lead, and I have to hold a standard. And holding a standard is not always sexy, and it's not always glitter and smiles. Like, you have to hold a standard. But personally, I feel like I receive such a stronger emotional reaction from some people. Like, they get maybe more upset at me or more sensitive because they're like, well, you're normally so nice. Like, what is this? And then, you know, I'm like, I'm sorry, I still have a job to do. I'm still the XO. Like, so I don't know if you've faced something similar, but I feel like for a lot of women, they live in that 90%. But then if you have any advice for them on that 10%, that it's okay to hold the standard, it's okay to flip a switch, but it's also okay to expect some people to be surprised by it. But I feel like it's not, when you're being fair or holding a reasonable standard, it's not your responsibility to have to endure like the sensitivity of others. Like, you're being fair, you're being stern. You can't control how they react to that. Does that make sense?
Yes. I think you hit it on the head. First of all, your job as the leader is to hold people accountable. Like, you need, if someone, you want to enable them to do their job, you need to give them their left and right limits. But if they are not upholding the standard and you let them get away with that little bit, everybody else is going to see this, and then it's going to disrupt the good order and discipline. So you need to have the standard. You need to hold them accountable. I don't think people just want a free for all where everybody's allowed to do what they want. People are going to react, and sometimes the reactions will surprise you. And that's where you need to have a mentor to like help talk you through it. Cause sometimes people just get really nasty. Like, I had somebody who just went through the ceiling, like, thought was going to come across me at the desk. Kind of crazy. Gosh. And you don't expect people to handle anything but professionally, but sometimes you just invoke an emotional response, and that's not necessarily on you. It might be something that they've experienced where you've just hit that button, and that it's so hard to not take it personally, but you need to keep showing up. You need to keep holding people accountable because it's your job and you're expected to do your job, but it's hard.
And I think the consistency at the end of the day is, you know, that's part of what we were talking about. Is I was talking to my mentor the other day. She was like, because I was asking her this question, she's like, if you're always yelling, then everyone eventually learns not to listen. Because you're always yelling, you know, but she's like, I like to say I'm nice until it's time not to be nice anymore. And I was like, that's me, like, to a T. I'm nice until I'm like, no, we don't do that. And I don't mind being confrontational. And I think people are still surprised by that. But I will consistently uphold the standard. It's not just one time. It's not this one person. It's not this one sailor. It's across the board. Whether you're my favorite person in the office or my least favorite, like, I will hold you all accountable.
Yes. Fairness is huge.
Yeah. I don't think I'm skipping this. Maybe I am, but I think your next one was trust your gut. And I feel like it falls in line with exactly that.
It is.
You have to trust your experience. And you have to trust your gut when you're kind of reacting to those situations too.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, it takes you reps and sets of like, you have that feeling and you have to like, I would be curious about it, ask questions. And then you realizing that you are right so that you start trusting it more in the future. Like, the more times that you trust your gut and that you see you are correct, the more it becomes automatic. Like, when you have that feeling where something's not right and you can trust yourself enough to just go with it. I have the silliest example of when I did not trust my gut. I was working at the Pentagon for a 3-star equivalent, and I had just gotten in the seat and getting paperwork up to her, like putting all of her stuff together at the end of the day. And I get this form from another high-ranking person. And I was like, ooh, this doesn't look right, but it's from this really high-ranking person. They've been in the job for a while. Obviously, they know what they're doing. And I'm going to send it to my boss, even though I don't think that's right at all. And so I bring it into my boss, and then she opens it. And she's like, oh, this isn't right. And she made all of the corrections that I was going to make myself, but was too afraid to. Because I just assumed like this person obviously knows. So, but instead of asking the question ahead of time, like now I look like an idiot in front of my boss when I could have just prevented that. So I knew something was wrong. Just on a small scale, I knew something was up. I didn't explore that feeling. I just trusted it that it must be fine and just go with it.
I felt the same exact way when I was working as a flag aide, because the first couple months I'm like, I'm a dumb lieutenant. What do I know? Like, I'm just the flag aide, you know, and you're in a room with all these high ranking people all the time. And then what eventually changed, I realized, oh, I actually, you know, this person's saying that, but like, I thought about that, or like that, oh man, that was going to be my recommendation, or, oh, I should have said that. Like, that started happening all the time. I was like, why didn't I just say it? Like, what the heck? So I started using the term, my recommendation is. So like when I would brief her with whatever, you know, like a plan, or, you know, an 06 was like, just do it this way. And I'm like, nah, I don't really like that. I would say, hey, ma'am, like, here's the issue. Here's the paperwork. Here's the policy, whatever. You know, we've reviewed it. My recommendation is that you take a look at blank, because I think that maybe it's not in line with what your mission is, or my recommendation is that we do this first and this, so that way we prevent this, or it helps streamline this. And she always appreciated that I was giving like my recommendation, because she didn't want me just willy-nilly, you know, to be a robot. She wanted to know like, okay, you know me, you know my mission, you know my values. What's your recommendation, Kelly? So that always helps, because sometimes my recommendation, she'd be like, yeah, cool. And then moving forward, my last year with her, I would just move forward with my recommendation.
Awesome.
Like, I wouldn't even have to ask her anymore.
That's trust.
Yeah. But that when you're trying to gain that confidence in yourself and like build that gut, it's kind of good to get that feedback. And then after a while, I was like, I don't need the feedback. I know that this is right. And I used to just tell 06s all the time, like, she's not going to like that. And then they'd be like, no, I think she will. And I'm like, she's not going to like it. And I would say, hey, ma'am, this is what they're trying to push. She's like, I'm not going to like that. I'm like, I try to sell them that. It's like, she's like, no, we're not doing that. I'm like, okay, well, came from the Admiral, not from me. So that's great.
Oh, I love that.
I think that's terrific. Do you feel like it's harder or easier to trust your gut now that you've been in for 15 years?
So much easier.
Yeah.
It's like, I've seen some stuff. I've been through all of these crazy situations. And some of the mischief that people get into, it's like, I wrote that book. So like, I know exactly what you're doing. I know that you are trying to do this when it's actually this, and you trust it. It's one of the nice things about having been in for 15 years. It's like, you just feel like there's a lot of things that I don't know, but when I feel that feeling in my gut, I know.
Yeah.
And if not, I consult with my senior enlisted, my chief. She'll be my double check. Because sometimes I'm like on the optimistic side, but she's been in 10 years longer than me. And she'll be like, nope, not the case. I was like, oh, dang it.
They always know. I'm so happy you brought up your senior enlisted. I miss my last two commands. I haven't had a chief, and I miss my chief so much. I miss them so much. But I also feel like in a weird way, I was just like too reliable on my chief. Like, I didn't make decisions on my own. I was almost like, whatever the chief says, like, I'm gonna believe him or her. But these last two tours, I've been on my own. And I really miss my chief a lot, or my senior chief, or my master chief. But it's helped me build confidence, because I have to think it really through. Like, okay, what would my chief do? Like, you know, and I also, again,
they taught you well there.
Yeah. Or you have mentors, right? Like, I still reach out to my mentors, and I'm like, Which is super helpful, which kind of leads into your next one. You were talking about always know your supporters. I think that's what you said.
Let's see. I got, you are stronger and braver than you think.
Oh, how did I miss that one? Okay. dig into it.
No, that's fine. You're stronger and braver than you think. Challenge yourself. So I think life happens and growth happens outside of the comfort zone. So all of my pivotal moments have been outside of my comfort zone, and maybe I have fallen flat on my face and failed, but I have learned so much from those failures, and you just keep going. Like, I love a good physical challenge. Like, you just don't know like how much weight you can lift or how far you can run until maybe somebody pushes you, or you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that, or I can't believe I climbed that mountain, or I can't believe like I had that conversation. I can't believe I did that briefing. So when you sign up for stuff, sometimes you're kind of like, oh, I could never do that, or I'm too scared to do it. I say you try and go anyway and just see who you are outside of your comfort zone. And I bet you'll find out that you're a lot braver and stronger than you ever thought possible.
That's so true. If there's anything I could amplify, it's that message. That's what I try to tell high schoolers, sailors, whoever it is. I just spoke to a high school class, two high school classes on Thursday, and I used almost exactly what you just said. An example I heard was, I heard this example a while ago. I think it was on a TED Talk or something, and it just made so much sense. He was like, right now, you're sitting in an audience, and if your seat is perfectly comfortable, you're not going to move. You're not going to move. You're going to stay right there. But he's like, if any of you, if your seat was like a little wobbly or a little uncomfortable, or there was a lump in it, like you would get up and you would move. Like you would do something about it, right? In order to move and grow and make yourself in a better place, in a better space. And you kind of think about that with life. Like if you're like comfortable, you're just going to stay put. You're not going to move up. You're going to move down. Like you're just literally going to stay put. You're not going to get any better. You're not going to grow more. You're not going to learn more. You're going to stay comfortable. And so sometimes I'm like, what if I did that? Like, what if? And, you know, that felt like the same thing as going to the Naval Academy. That was kind of the start of it all.
Yes.
Like, what if I did that and I made it through? Like, what would that look like, you know? And I remember when I got asked to be an aide, my initial thought was absolutely not. I am not smart enough to be an aide. No, like no way I could be a flag aide and work for an admiral. Like I'm Kelly Hall. Like I don't know anything. And then I was kind of like, what if? Like, what if I did it? I was like, I could either like really, really fail at it. And then I'm like, okay, well, maybe this is not the right career path for me. Or I could do it. And then I'd be like, wow, I'm actually pretty dang good at this. And so that process, like, did I fail a lot? Yeah. Did I learn a lot? Yeah. But I came out through the other side and like, hey, if I can do that, like, what else can I do? Let's go be an XO.
Yes.
Let's see if I can do that. You know, you build confidence over time through doing the scary stuff, but it's scary.
You do. It is scary. My friends say that I'm the bravest scared person that they know. Like, I will happily make an ass of myself, but I will do it like with shaking hands. Like I'll do it.
The bravest scared person.
Yes. I will jump out of a plane. I will do a cageless shark dive, and I'll probably have like a moment like as I'm like 10 feet out of the plane, like, what am I doing?
Oh my gosh.
And I had that moment with the cageless shark dive. Like I was totally chill. Like it was Scott and me were going, it was on Oahu, and we're doing the cageless shark dive. And he's like, just like so stoic and calm. He's like, I can't believe we're doing this. And I'm like, this is going to be the best thing ever. And I get my snorkel on and I am the first one in the water. Like you see the sharks, and then I jump in and I'm like, what am I doing? So I'll do it.
Like after you've jumped, it's too late.
Yes, it's like it catches up to me.
That's funny.
As I'm doing the thing, and you're just kind of like, okay, well, I guess we'll see how this pans out.
And then how did you feel after, during and after?
Oh my gosh, it was amazing. Just the cageless shark dive. Like it was just so crazy to just be hanging out in the ocean. And they just kind of reminded me of like curious dogs, and they just like swim up to you. They're like, what's up? And then they swim away down into the blue deep. And it was just so cool to be in their environment. And I'm so happy that I went, but it was so scary at the same time. You're like, I would have never experienced that if I was too afraid to do it. Same with jumping out of a plane. Like I would have never if I was too afraid, I would have never seen that view and had that feeling where you're just flying. And the best part is when I get to take people on my crazy adventures with me, and
Yeah.
I get to see them outside of their comfort zone too. When we did the skydiving trip, my whole office, we went skydiving.
Oh my gosh.
And this lady, she was 60, and I could hear her scream the whole way down. Like, you could see her parachute, and you could just like hear her yelling and screaming the whole way. But she did it.
She did it.
She did it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I love that. It just makes you so fearless. I know it's impossible to be completely fearless. Fearless is not the absence of fear. I think it's more how you just deal with it. And like, it's similar. Sorry, I have to tell you this story too. I agreed to scale down a 36-story building for Make-A-Wish. I didn't even talk to my husband about it. I was just like, yeah, sure, I'll do it for charity. Cool. And they were like, we want to film it. Like, we want to use it for social media. Like, are you cool with it? And
oh,
I was like,
gosh,
sure. I was like, I've never had afraid of heights. Whatever. So leading up to it, like 2 weeks out, I was like, hey, Austin, I agreed to go down a 36-story building for a Make-A-Wish. And he was like, what? And he's usually so supportive, but when it comes to my safety, he's like, I don't really like love this idea. That's why I haven't gone skydiving, because he's like, there's things that happen and I don't want something to happen to you. And I'm like, oh, that's fair.
Oh, that is sweet.
So yeah, I kind of told him and I was like, but it's for charity, I have to do it. And he's like, I don't think I would have agreed with this, but okay. And he's like, can I come with you? And I was like, yeah. So I was totally fine. Week leading up to it, I was like, oh yeah, Friday I'm scaling a building. Forgot about that. Cool. The morning of, I was like, huh, scaling a building today. All right. A little nervous about that. And then when we started driving, I was just like, Austin, what if something happens? He's like, literally don't talk about it. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm about to scale down a building, a 36-story building in downtown Chicago. And so I like kind of paralyzed, nervous. And then when I get up there, they're like going through all the safety stuff. And they're like, it's really, really quick, because there's only one, me and one other person that day for some media stuff. So like, put the harness on me. Do the, like, this is how you do it. Beep, 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 boop, lapel, lapel, going down. And within 5 minutes, I'm like on top of the building. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm about to go down a 36-story building. And he just goes, okay, step back. I don't want to do this anymore. Like, literally my brain, I was almost like, nope, nope. Like, my legs like buckled. Like, I could not step back. Like, could not step back. And he was just like, okay, just bend at the knees and take it one thing at a time. And I was like, I'm so scared. I did not look around once. I kid you not. My little lanyard, I'm like going down with my, I think it's called a lanyard. I don't know.
I have no idea.
You're more athletic than I am. Whatever that like rope is that you're scaling down. I'm like,
yeah,
going down my rope. I looked straight ahead the whole time.
At the building.
I did not look at the view, did not look at the lake, did not look around. I was just trying to think of something other than the fact that I was scaling down a 36-story building, and I sang my wedding song in my head on repeat. I was so scared. So then finally, like, my peripheral, I was like, okay, I think I'm only like 10 floors up now. So I like kept going, kept scaling. But after I got done, I was like, I almost backed out. I was seconds away from being like, I don't want to do this anymore. This is a lot. And I did it, because deep down I was like, but what if I make it through this? Like, what if I do this? Like, I'm going to be so proud of myself. And I did it. And I was so proud of myself. And so now I'm like, all right, what's next? Like, what else can I do? Because that was pretty freaking scary. And I still did it. So
I'm so proud of you. That is
Thank
scary.
You. Oh my God. I don't know if I could jump in with sharks. I'm actually petrified of sharks. Sharks and snakes. Like, no way.
I'm terrified of sharks. Like, my parents didn't even let me see Jaws when I was a kid. Like, I was like Disney movies all the way. And like, I used to pretend that the lines at the bottom of a pool were like hammerhead sharks to get me. And I would like freak out and get out of the pool. And I would get freaked out that there were sharks in the pool when I was a kid, like completely unrealistic. So me wanting to go in with sharks was completely not anywhere in my wheelhouse of something to do. But I was like, we're going to go face that fear. Would I do it again? It was scary.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to catch me scaling down a building again. Not going to lie. Like, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Literally, moved on. Thanks, Make-A-Wish. Yeah. So with that, I think that, I mean, there's a common theme of kind of doing the scary thing, which is really cool. And I think that for a lot of females who are looking to build confidence, they can start with something much smaller than scaling down a building or going to swim with sharks. But whatever that scary thing is, ripping the Band-Aid off. I actually spoke about this in my empowerment dinner back in January. There were some women who were scared to come to my dinner because they're just not very social. And they had no idea what it was going to be like to be in a room with 30 really successful, empowered women. But they came. And I was like, that's the step, though. Like, that's the small step. It's like going to that happy hour and you don't know anyone, but then you go and you survive. You survive and you're better for it. And you're like, wait, that wasn't so bad. Or doing that 5K run that you've kind of been thinking about doing but never have. But then you go and you survive. Like, you learn so much about yourself through that process and it builds so much confidence. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of the 80% solution. Just build the plane as it's flying. I think Patton said, a good plan violently executed today is better than a perfect plan executed next week.
Yeah.
Just go for it.
Just go for it.
Like, take the step and like figure it out. Figure it out as you go. It doesn't have to be perfect. Like, you just do it.
Just do it. Do it, reflect, move forward. And that's what makes you better.
If you fail, that's okay too.
Yeah.
That's the scary part.
Failing forward. That's one of my favorite things to talk about is it can speak probably from both of our experiences that we're a summation of a lot of failures, but it's really been how we've picked ourselves up from them and not let it stunt our growth, but be a catalyst toward it. So anybody who thinks that, you know, oh, they went to the academy, they're officers, they've got it all figured out, they're good speakers, no. Blah, blah, blah. No, no. I got my butt handed to me last week. Like, literally every week I'm like, well, don't do that again. Like, you know, that's how you learn. But then you show up and you just keep going because it's only going to make you better every single day.
Exactly.
I want to get into these last couple that you have. And I think your next one was talking about the support system. So I'd love to hear your take on why that's important to you.
You need to surround yourself with people who make you better. If you do not have people who support you, if you do not have people that are cheering you on and challenging you, you're not going to be able to level up. If you, like, let's say you have big fitness goals and all your friends do is party and they don't understand like why you're packing your lunch and why you don't want to go out to eat with them and why you're spending all this time in the gym, but you're working towards this big competition, like, they might break your resilience and you might give in and then maybe you won't be achieving the goals that you need. So if you don't have those people making you better, maybe you need new people.
I highly encourage people to do almost like an audit of their relationships. And kind of back to what you were talking about, setting boundaries and burning bridges. I'm sure you've heard the phrase, like, if it's not a heck yes, it's a heck no.
Yes.
It's the same kind of thing with people's reactions to what you're doing or how you feel when you leave people. Like, people reach out to me. This is a huge blessing, but people reach out to me all the time. They're like, hey, like, I love to connect with you over drinks, over dinner. And I'm just like, I think you're great, but I'm not like, yes, amazing. You know, when I feel that, like you, for example, I would be like, absolutely. You know, I can tell this is someone that's worth investing in. And it's usually mutual because there's a respect there and there's an excitement there and there's a support there. So if you realize you're agreeing to things or time for people and you're not really that excited about it, it's probably not a heck yes, it's a heck no. Just take that audit.
And your time is so limited, right? Especially when you have a full-time job. And I get to spend, maybe 2 hours a day with Scott. So I'm trying, like, how I spend my time, I have to be very, very thoughtful about it because I just don't have a lot of it. So if there's something where I really don't want to do it, but I feel like I have to go anyway or I'm obligated, I'm just going to have that boundary and say no instead.
100%.
Because if it's not the heck yes, it's not worth your time.
Exactly. And I definitely think that that extends to how people are supporting you. So I learned this from my best friend, Jackie. From the time we were at the academy, if I said anything, like I remember wanting to try out for the dance team. She was like, yes, amazing. You go. And I'm like, but Jackie, I have no dance experience. I don't care. You're going to be incredible. And she came to all my halftime performances, even though I was the worst one on the team. And same thing when I was like, I think I want to go for Miss USA. Like, she was like, you should. Let's apply. Like, I love it. Hey, I want to start a podcast. Why aren't you already podcasting? Like, yes. And I learned from that one relationship, like, the love I deserved. I deserved someone that, like, should be cheering for me. And there were other friends that are like, well, why are you doing Miss USA? Or, so what's this like podcast thing you're doing? Or like, what's with your social media? And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, you learn very quickly, like, who is enthusiastically supporting you and not questioning you, vice they're questioning you more than they're supporting you. I'm like, okay, duly noted. Cool.
Noted. And moving on from this attitude, like, we don't need it.
Yeah.
We don't need that, right?
We don't need it. Trim it. Yes. Trim it out. Jackie and I do the scissors a lot. We're like, trim it out, trim the fat. All right. So on to the next one. I think you have but two or three more. He's just so amazing, by the way. You're just incredible. It's going to be just a jam-packed episode full of tips.
This is great. I love sharing these. Self-care is non-negotiable.
Yes.
If you don't have your health, you can't take care of anybody else. There's going to be seasons where you are going to be exhausted, but if it's just compounding and you're not focusing on sleep because you're scrolling on your phone too much, you are not eating healthy food, you are not exercising and moving your body, like, it's going to catch you and you're going to burn out. If you're not taking time to just have what recharges and fills your cup, you're going to burn out. And again, there's going to be seasons, like maybe it'll be a month, maybe it'll be several months, but you need to take time to take care of yourself so you can take care of others.
Yes, you are not going to be any good to anyone if you are not taking care of you. Period. I'm so sad it took me so long to figure that out, and I hope people learn that sooner. I feel like this next generation is starting to learn that a lot sooner, which is really good.
I think so too. As long as they keep getting better than we were, that's good.
Exactly. So by the time this episode comes out, I would have already shared this on social media, which is exciting, but I'm competing for Miss Illinois USA in May.
So. Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yes. You are now in the inner circle of people who know.
Yes. Oh, I can't wait for this announcement.
I'm so flippin' excited. I have two more people to go. I have the VCNO and the Chief of Naval Operations who have to sign off on it, which is why I haven't shared it on social media yet. But I have been prepping since October 1st. Because they made the announcement back in September that the age limit was removed so I could compete again.
Oh my gosh.
Austin and I knew. We were like, let's go, baby. It's go time. But I say that in that, like, I feel as though I have been given this time. Like, you know, I started prepping in October because I was like, okay, let's get real, Kelly. You're a full-time job. You're an XO. You have responsibilities there. You're also a wife, and when I competed before, I was single for most of the time. You have responsibilities there. Somewhere you have to fit in, you know, what matters to you, self-care, sleeping, like, you know, kind of map this plan out. So I've been doing really well balancing both. But Saturday marked exactly 3 months out from Miss Illinois. And I say this, and then I took a look at my calendar. And I was like, we're 3 months out. As much as I like want to split myself into 12 people and make it to every happy hour or make it to every event or make it to every shower or make it to whatever, I need to remember that for 3 months, work comes first. It's always, you know, I'm still number one. I'm a naval officer. Work comes first. I need to find time to actually see my husband somewhere in there.
Yes.
But
must.
My prep for Miss Illinois USA is paramount. So there might be some things that need to slide. So I need to sleep and eat well. Can't split yourself into three people because I'm not going to be able to perform at my maximum if I'm not healthy, not eating well, not sleeping. So I literally like audited my calendar for the next 3 months. And I was like, okay, I need to start saying no, 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 and detoxing. And I feel like such a butthead because people are like, hey, like, let's get Taco Tuesday. And I'm like, okay, I'm free April 29th. Like, oops. Like, I'm looking at my calendar. I can't go out every day of the week. I need to sleep.
Yes.
I need to sleep. I need to work out. I need to eat at home because I have strict meals. Like, I need to be with my husband. I need to lie in bed. Like, I need to sleep. So self-care, it's not always easy. But again, you're setting those boundaries for yourself because I can't do all of that prep and all that work and show up as an XO and be ready for the day. That's the part about doing both is like, it's a balance between what you have to do and what you want to do. I have to show up to work every day as an XO and I have to be prepared for it. So somewhere along the lines, I must figure it out and take care of myself.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for you.
Thanks. Yay. Now, I'm so excited to have you as part of my inner circle. Cheer me on. Cheer me on. What a journey. What a journey. Thank you.
Oh my gosh. When's the competition date? I'm going to put it in my planner.
It's exactly 3 months. So May 24th through 26th. So
awesome. Putting it on the calendar. Yes.
Memorial Day weekend, which is actually, I feel like a good omen. I hit my 10 years active duty service on the 24th.
Amazing. And my niece was born on the 24th. So we're going to
throw
that in there too. Great day.
Good day. Thank you. I know you have at least one more, but anything more on the self-care? What are you doing? How are you balancing this? You know, you're busy. You mentioned you see your husband 2 hours a night. That's so true. We're lucky if we do, right? But what are you doing for self-care?
I always work out in the morning, Monday through Friday. Like, that's the only time I can guarantee that I get a workout in is if it's before work, because I can talk myself out of a workout if it's at night because I'm exhausted, I'm tired, it's been a long day. I could talk myself out of it. But in the morning, I have no excuses. So I need to get the workout in, get those endorphins because they make you happier. And I make sure to watch my supplements when I'm having. I'll do like the AG1 just to make sure I have like enough vitamins and getting my greens and like the multivitamin and stuff. So I always have that. I make sure to, I do 100 push-ups Monday through Friday.
What?
So it was like my COVID habit, like we were in a tiny little apartment in DC with no gym in our building. So we just started doing, Scott called them prison workouts because we had no equipment. We had nothing. So we were just doing calisthenics. So I started doing push-ups. I was starting with 50 and then he told me I was being soft as cream cheese. So I started doing 100.
Oh my gosh, what a savage. You're being soft as cream cheese. 50 more.
I know.
That's amazing.
He makes me better. So I break him up into sets, but we're going on 4 years of all those push-ups. It's wild.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. I pack my lunch. So I meal prep so that I know exactly what I'm eating. We try to eat healthy Monday through like Friday at lunch, and then we eat whatever we want on the weekends.
Same.
So I always have to pack it. Otherwise, me and the candy bowl are best friends. Like, I can't just have one piece of candy. I need like 10 pieces of candy. So it's best if I have enough food to not do that. But sometimes I do. Sometimes that's self-care.
We're soul sisters.
Yes. And then with Scott, as soon as I get home, I put my phone aside and I have the alerts on so I know the sound that my boss's text makes. But otherwise, I don't look at it. So I have, we'll have dinner together, no phones, and then we'll take my dog, Barnaby, on a walk together with no phones. So we get that time. And I swear Scott's like my therapist, my confidant, and he's done command. They do command so early in the Army. So he's just like the person that I talk through my day with and anything that I need to think through, and then try and get 7 hours of sleep. That's it. And then we do it all over again.
Let me do it all over again. There's so much there. I love that you talked about that people think meal prep and they're like, oh, fitness, ew. Like people do that for competitions or bodybuilding or whatever. Food is energy. Like I have always been naturally small, which is a blessing. But when I was a runner, I would eat whatever I wanted because I was like, oh, I'm thin, whatever. And then I started getting migraines, low energy, headaches, all of that. And my neurologist was like, what does your diet look like? And I was like, you know, pizzas and frozen foods. And I always had a tub of, I'm not kidding. I used to always have a tub of cookie dough in the fridge and I would take a spoonful every night just for kicks. And then he's like, you probably should like less carbs and less sugar. And that was in 2016. And my lifestyle, I mean, the energy I have, I've done so much more since changing that. And so I agree with you. Like meal prepping is key even throughout the day. Like I'm full and sustained. And now you're not worried about being hungry. And it definitely makes an impact.
And especially when you're working so hard, you need to treat your body like you're an athlete, right? They're watching their diet. They're getting their sleep. They're working out. Like you're working long days, you are on all the time as a leader, like no bad days. Like you can't take it out on your team. It's exhausting. Everybody wants a piece of your time. And I always make sure that I give it, but I come home exhausted. I am so exhausted. And this is my, I'm doing back-to-back commands. So I just need to make sure I can get my rest where I can so that I can show up and be my best for my people the next day.
Yeah. That's so incredible. You're such a rock star. You're so amazing.
Thank you.
I just feel like I have already adopted you as my mentor now. I hope that's okay.
Yay. Absolutely.
Thank you.
I would be honored.
Oh, stop. I'd be honored. This is mentor. This is therapy for me already, selfishly. Okay. So rounding out, I think you had one more tip for us. Am I right?
Yes. We will end it on this note. You are more than the job.
So good.
So you need to have a hobby, like do something outside of work. Like I'm fully committed to my job in the Air Force and command, and I've always been all in, but I've also always been all in on having things outside of work, like friends and hobbies and passions and things that I love to do. Like I love traveling and I love taking pictures of all the fun places that I've been. And there's all these things that I love and that I can talk about outside of work that I'm passionate about so that it's not just the job. And I've seen people who are married to the job, and everyone has their choice and everybody's different. But sometimes I just want to give them a hug because eventually you have to break up with the Air Force. Like you can't stay in the military forever. Like they have, like whether it's through one enlistment or your academy commitment or you served 40 years as a chief of staff, like eventually it has to go. So what do you do after?
Yeah.
So like do something that's fun, fills up your cup, and it makes you more of an interesting person. Like right now I'm making sourdough is like my thing that I'm trying to do. So
I love that.
There's not a lot to do in the panhandle right now. So I'm just making sourdough and that's my thing. So I'm trying to do something, try something new.
I feel like I had a breakthrough, like a mental shift. I've always been do both, always had passions and always done stuff outside of the military. But seeing my dad, he retired Navy forever. I mean, bleeds Navy. I was born in a naval hospital where he was a corpsman. Navy, Navy, Navy forever. My whole family, my sister's in the Navy, all just one big Navy family. And he retired and he had to hang up the uniform last October. And it was just such a reality check for me because I was like, this ends eventually. Like you put your heart and your soul and you move and you make these strategic decisions for your career. And it's the same thing when I was working on the Flagstaff, you know, it was me and a bunch of 06s and the Admiral. And like all, there's only so many spots to become an Admiral, right? There's only so many people who can become, you know, generals. Like so one day they're going to say, thank you so much for your service, but you were not selected and then you retire. And so I watched these 06s just work so hard and they were brilliant, but they didn't make Admiral and they are now separating and retiring. And I kind of was just like, I don't think I want to be working those kinds of hours when I'm about to retire, you know, like they're missing a lot of soccer games and they're missing a lot of time with kids and musicals. And I was like, I think I want to go to the soccer game. So now I'm like, be just as focused on building your life outside of the military as you are building it in the military. It doesn't make you any less committed. If anything, it makes you more committed because you're more human because of it.
Yes, exactly that. We made it through the list.
Your list was beautiful. And I knew when we talked before the show, I was like, it's going to be a long episode, but I can't wait to talk about every single thing. What's next for you, Amanda? What's going to happen? You're 15 years in. You know, I'm sure you get asked this all the time, but what's next for you and what are you most excited about?
All right, we're throwing it out in the universe. I would like to be an ROTC instructor.
You would be amazing!
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. We have to manifest this for you. You would be so incredible.
Yes. Everyone who's listening, please help manifest this because I think that would be the best way to round out a career is inspiring and preparing the next generation to lead.
Yes.
Like, oh. And just to see how motivated, we had some Air Force Academy cadets come through when I was at Bellows, right as I was leaving. It was for their Ops Air Force, and I got to show them around, and they were just so motivated and so fresh and so excited to get into the Air Force. Like, they didn't have the exhaustion and the little bit of jaded that comes with it. And I was like, oh, I just want to be around you all the time. So let's hope that's what's next. I apply.
And they hang on to every word you say, I'm sure. Like, you are it for them. You are the pinnacle. You are their idol, you know? So there's just so much influence that you can have in their lives, which is incredible.
Yeah, I would love that so much. So I think the applications, it's either end of March or April. So I'll find out by fall. Fingers crossed. That's the dream.
Okay. Incredible. Where are you hoping to go? Are you going to stay down in Florida?
No, I'm hoping for UT Austin.
Wow. So fun. Oh my gosh. Okay. So big things on the horizon. I mean, you've already given us so much advice, but if you could leave, you know, listeners, specifically women, both in and out of the military, with kind of a final thought or piece of advice, what would you tell them?
I would say one of my favorite pieces of advice is from my friend Sarah. And she, it is just, ever since I met her, it's just been a theme that we've had in our friendship. And as we go through highs and lows, we just remind each other of it. I've literally called her crying as like, I didn't get something that I wanted in the Air Force. And it is, what is for you will not pass you. And you're right exactly where you need to be. So just know that the path that you're supposed to be on, it'll happen. So you might take twists and turns, but you always end up exactly where you are meant to be, where you make the most impact. So just trust.
Yeah. Trust and enjoy. I heard this quote, it's like, I think 85% of the things that you stress about don't even happen, you know, but we spend so much time stressing and having anxiety about something that typically doesn't even happen. So trust and enjoy.
Yep. Enjoy the moment because it's going to be, you're going to blink and you're going to be 15 years into the job and you have no idea how you got to be a lieutenant colonel. You're like, wow, how did I end up here?
What's going on?
Just enjoy it. Enjoy the people. It's all, especially in the military, you move so much. Like, this is so temporary. So just soak it in.
Yeah. Soak it in.
Make the friends, take care of people. Yeah. And just enjoy it.
I am going to be cheering for you forever. You have a lifetime cheerleader in me. I'm so grateful. Like, truly, this is why I like fervently believe in social media, because I've met the best people through it and have this network of women specifically that are now friends, like actual friends that I have met or gone on trips with or whatever. And I just feel so blessed. And so thank you so much for what you do. Showing up is hard. And being vulnerable is hard and being authentic is hard. And I know you're not just leading your airmen out there with that same authenticity. You're also doing it online for people like me who are paying attention. So thank you so much. I'm so grateful for you.
Oh, I'm so grateful for you. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course.
You have so many amazing women on this podcast, and I'm just honored to be a part of that lineup.
Absolutely. I'm sorry it took 5 seasons to get you on the show, but better late than never. Here we are, every season getting better and better.
Sure does.
Yes. Thanks so much, Amanda. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Misunderstood Podcast. I love hearing from you guys, and I want you to take a screenshot of this episode, tag at misunderstood.podcast on Instagram, and share a takeaway from today's episode. Something you loved, something you wanted more of, whatever it is, it helps me learn what you guys want to hear. Please consider leaving a review on iTunes or Spotify. I want to give a special shout out to my friends at Hatch for producing this episode. If you are looking to launch a podcast, or if you already have one, you can get unlimited podcast editing by visiting usehatch.fm. That's usehatch.fm. Thanks so much, guys. Until next week, this is your Misunderstood, Kelly Hall. The views and opinions presented here in this episode are those of myself and do not necessarily represent the views of the DoD or its components. Appearance of or reference to any commercial products or services does not constitute DoD endorsement in those products or services. The appearance of external hyperlinks does not constitute DoD endorsement of the linked websites or of the information, products, or services therein.